Coming up, I don't think there should be speeches.
You want to cut them out altogether?
All together. Why would you want to have a speech?
They're boring.
Can I say this about anybody who has an anecdote? Got to end on something funny.
Have you told yourself that?
I've constantly.
This is no business. Like, no business.
No business.
Like, no.
Welcome to Judgmental.
Hello, darling Anton. How are you, my love?
Oh, my love. Do you know, I'm marvellous. I'm very excited about this. Day one of our new pod.
I know.
It's what very exciting.
A brilliant and exciting and glamorous thing, darling. I can't wait. Darling, what have you been quietly judging this week?
This has been quite a long week. I've been doing half-termy things with the children. And I actually quite like it when they're at school. It's a bit easier for me when they're at school. The weekends.
Well, yeah, that's
so
because
busy.
There's someone else being paid to look after them, and it's not you or your money. It is your money, isn't it?
Parenting is so hard.
Well, I did warn you.
You did warn me. What about you? What's your week? You're on the road, of course. So, what's your week been like?
Yes, I've been on the road. So every day is a challenge, and I've been judging my audiences. They're all so very different around the country, and what I've noticed. Because I've been primarily up north.
Right.
They're really fantastic. I mean, they're really responsive. They're out for a good time. And I love that. They can get leery.
Oh, really?
I didn't know I'd have so many hecklers, darling.
Oh, really? Oh, this is tremendous.
No, it's like a working man's club. It turns into a raucous, fantastic night. But so I've been judging the audiences and judging their questions. I thought it'd be a good idea just to judge them judging me.
Why do you think people are going to enjoy watching us together?
Because I think as friends, we have differences of opinion. I think that's what brought us together, I've got to be honest. I mean, you have the opposite opinion to me generally in life about everything.
Do you think?
Yes.
Do you think the opposite?
Listen, I was trying to think, my darling. When did we actually become friends?
Now, of course, we met in 2004 for the first time, but you were judging and I was on the other side. And of course, you were ever so slightly the enemy in those days because we were all our worlds were very separate. The musical theatre world, the theatre, the ballroom dancing competitive world, the classical world, all very separate. And it was Strictly Come Dancing that brought them all together. But you were from that side and you were also brutal.
Then you discovered, darling, how absolutely gorgeous I really was. And that actually all I was doing was wearing a judge's hat and judging from my experience in musical theatre. And of course, contemporary ballet and ballet. So, and I know you are from a completely different world in that way. So yes, it's going to become a shock because I think you've been used to being treated with cotton gloves, darling. Haven't you? You've been pampered and looked after all your life. Unlike me, who said from the dance gutter up. But I think you're right. We did become friends on all those extra
away
things
days
that we're doing. Absolutely. And I remember when we got together and we were rehearsing for the first time for a song that we're going to sing together.
Oh, heavens, I've forgotten about that. Yes.
Somewhere beyond the sea. Do you remember? Then I blew you out of the water, darling.
Mad.
I know. I went West End. I know. I went total West End Wendy and thought I was Mariah Carey.
I was giving it full crooner and then you went,
You're giving it full Frank, and I was giving it full Whitney Houston. It was very funny. That actually did bring us together. It was really good.
It was a lot of fun. But there was let me tell you this story, actually.
Come on,
you won't remember this, but this is a big turning point in my life, which I'm eternally grateful to you for. I was offered the original role of Jerry Travers in Top Hat. When it came to the West End. And lovely producer Kenny Wax, we were playing golf one morning. He had the idea of putting on Top Hat is something he wanted to do. And he asked if I'd like to play the role of Jerry Travers, which was a sort of a dream thing for me. And I said, yes. Thank you very much. Anyway, long story short, I found out that they wanted to take it on tour, but they wanted to take it on tour during the autumn over Strictly Come Dancing. So which means I'd have to come out of Strictly. And I'd just done, just been with Anne Widdicombe.
Yes.
So I'd had a great year with Anne. And they wanted me to come out of Strictly and do the show, Top Hat. And I came and spoke to you about it. Nobody I really knew intimately had any concept of theatre. The only person I could really speak to about it was you. And you gave me the best piece of advice I've ever been given in my entire life. You sort of steered the rest of my life on the path it maintained. And you said to me, classically, he says, very simple, he said, you said, if they can't give you the Saturday nights off, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I said, I'd like to do it. I'd like to rehearse with my partner all day, do the shows in the evening, but I'd like Saturday night off. And they went, we can't do that. And I said, unfortunately, I can't do the show then.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest piece of advice. Really, and what it was very clear, very, very knowledgeably given, because you understood the dilemma, you understood the situation, you understood the show, you know, you had television on one side, theatre on the other, the hugeness of both roles, but you just said in a very succinct way, this is what you should do, and if you can't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
And you were amazing. So I'm eternally grateful to you.
Oh, that's very sweet. Maybe that's when you actually fell in love with me.
Entirely. From that moment on, we've been inseparable.
Well, I've got to say, my first impression of you, I thought you were really like stuck up. I thought you were like above your station.
Oh, I was totally
above your station. I did always so above his station. Oh, look, he thinks he's the king of ballroom. Look at him. And then I got to know you a little bit better, obviously. And I changed my mind. Because I love what you did with Anne Widdicombe. I thought that was brilliant. And how you actually treated, you know, your dance partners, I thought was really, really good. And I sort of got that completely wrong about you, actually, because you're not stuck up at all.
No.
In fact, you're quite the opposite.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
No, you're grounded.
That's grounded, I'll take grounded.
Otherwise, you would not be my friend, because I don't like people that aren't grounded.
I love that.
I love that, darling.
We hadn't met until like the first show of Strictly Come Dancing 2004 in the spring.
Yeah.
So we're all sort of like this, all over the place. So I think literally the first thing I ever heard you say was dull, 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 brutal to, who was it? Was it Brendan or something?
Natasha Kaplinsky and Brendan Cole.
You absolutely annihilated. Which you annihilated everyone.
Who actually went on to win the show. The series.
Not so dull, dull, dull. But you, so that was my initial, I thought, crikey, Moses, absolutely outrageous. But what I loved about you, as soon as I got to know more, as is with all these things, as soon as I got to know more about you, the thing I loved about you was where you came from and what your experience was. Do you know, ironically, very similar sort of upbringings, really, coming from the same sort of stock and a similar sort of path, although in our own sort of worlds. You say out of the gutter, which is sort of where I began. You know, we're down there in borrowed shoes and all that sort of stuff. And then we've ended up meeting many years later on this huge, incredible journey of ours. But
yeah, we have had similar lives in that way, I suppose, albeit in different dance forms. But my dad was in the Navy for 20 years and was like a desperate alcoholic, you know. So I grew up with that, which wasn't fun.
No, and not dissimilar to mine. My father wasn't in the armed service, but he was a desperate alcoholic. So we both had to go through that. Imagine that, having alcoholic sort of manly parents, and there's the two boys going, we'd like to be dancers. Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, great. Good choice, good life choice.
Good luck with that.
Exactly. I think that did bring us closer together when you told me about that.
Now, we have a lot in common, actually, but I've heard, once we've announced this podcast, that people have said, this is an unlikely friendship. I find that staggering.
Well, no, I don't find it staggering at all, because you have to remember, people only know us from TV, and they see me, you know, putting you down constantly.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I have noticed that.
Wagging the finger. Goading.
Yes.
But I mean, that's all a bit of fun, isn't it? And plus, you don't get time on telly to sort of show your true colours in a way. You know, there isn't any time for that. I mean, I'm there to do a job, you know, whereas on the podcast, I think people will really, enjoy just seeing us banter as we normally do in the back of a car.
That's where the magic is in the back of the cars between shows. That's where I'd like to have a mic on you.
I know, because you are slightly guarded, aren't you? And when you get into the back of a car, you're not. You know, you can be yourself. And I think that's the beauty about this podcast, is we can have real opinions and we can be ourselves, you know, and I think that's good. As much as we differ in opinion on a lot of things, on, in fact, most things, I think that's sort of good. But I think that's what builds a friendship. You know, you have to learn to accommodate the other person and understand their point of view. And I think that's, you know, about learning stuff in
life. I'm very pleased you accommodate me. I'm very grateful. But talking about back of cars, I'm going to tell you about the thing that drives you mad, gives you the ump.
Oh, okay.
Drives you crazy.
I know, I could tell you.
I know
you
exactly what it is. Being late.
Well, now this is where our biggest argument will be. And this is where our first argument actually was.
I remember that.
Because friendship, for me, went out the window. If I am sat in a car waiting for you, I will leave. I will wait five minutes and I will leave, darling. If we're going to share a car, and we do. No, when I was sat in that car, I was fuming because you're there.
I was there with signing the things, having the fight.
Signing autographs, going, oh, yes, darling, doing all of that. And I thought, if you want to sign autographs, come out half an hour early.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
And I gave you a right bollocking. I did. You've never done that since. You're actually 5 minutes early now.
She went mad. I didn't make me laugh. So from that point on, I always get in the car before him now. I'm going to tell you something about you that people aren't going to believe. I'm going to tell you this. You smiled once. I know it's staggering to people to think that, but you did smile once, and I remember it. I know that because I made a voice note on my phone and I've kept it for prosperity.
The Botox must have worn off. It's been after 3 months.
It's been fighting to come out for 3 months. No,
listen, I smile a lot, but I'm not there. I'm not. Why, you know, torture your face with smiling?
What?
It gives you crow's feet. It's better just to remain, you know, if something's funny, I will smile. That's why you've probably never seen me smile. Maybe you did actually say something.
I imagine something hilarious slipped out.
Well, I know something put a smile on my face. Your fake teeth. I love that. That put a big smile on my face.
Still my own teeth.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm still going to keep apologizing probably for the rest of my life.
People still bring it up.
I have no idea. Well, only because I did think you were wearing false teeth.
People.
I mean, I thought you had like proper joke teeth in. And I didn't realize that they were actually your very own.
So you find that hilarious?
And I still want to apologize because that's unkind and it was unnecessary.
Wow, like you've ever wanted.
And I did explain that. And I feel like I have to keep qualifying.
You don't have to, it's fine.
So this is the last time I'll ever say it. Anton Dubek, I'm so sorry about your teeth.
Love
that. Well, I think people are going to learn quite a lot about the both of us, darling, and not only individually, but as friendship couple.
I love that, a friendship couple.
Darling, shall we get on with the pod proper? That's a tongue twister, isn't it? Pod proper.
Okay, my loves, this is what you can expect from the pod proper. We'll be treating ourselves to an afternoon tea at a swanky hotel. And we'll also have a topic each week just to keep us on track and to allow you, the listeners, to get involved with some themes we know will divide opinion. We don't mind a divided opinion. We thrive on it. Plus, we'll play a few games like the Gold Standard, where we listen to some random statements and voice notes from a selection provided by the tea room's resident butler. Oh, yes, a resident butler. For some judgment on the hot topics. We'll do some quickfire judgments on a list of likes and dislikes to see what each of us really feels, to surprise ourselves. And what I'm sure will be our favourite part of the show, we'll read out your emails asking for us to judge you. Or maybe we'll help you with a slight dilemma.
You can do that by emailing judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk or finding us on social media at judgmental.com. pod. It's going to be so much fun. We're so glad you can join us. So, Anton, darling, I think they're ready for us. Please join me in the tea room for the first of our features, the Gold Standard, where the hotel's resident butler is going to be serving us some golden envelopes, each containing a spicy conversation starter on today's theme, suitable for the summer season, darlings. Oh, yes, it's weddings.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
In a tea room of splendor where judgments are tender.
Or not, as it happens when standards won't bend so.
With porcelain gleaming and whispers of steam.
Two critics convene in this opulent scene.
Craig Revel Horwood, precision in place.
Anton Dubec, all charm and all grace.
Together we gather, exacting, experimental,
to weigh what is worthy and what's judgmental.
And today's grand affair, lace laughter and flair,
is the perilous pageant of weddings laid bare.
From vows that enchant,
to choices that jar.
From first dances dreamy,
to speeches bizarre.
So sit up, sip slow, let the scrutiny swell.
For in matters of taste, this is judgmental. It is time, my dears, for the gold standard.
I bring the gold.
And darlings, I bring the standard. Obviously. On the table in front of us, brought over by a fabulous resident butler, darling. Oh!
Oh, hello.
Oh.
Hello, resident butler. Oh, we've got...
Thank you. What's your name, gold. Sir? Hello, Will.
Hello. Oh, he's nervous. Well, do you see how you made him nervous?
I know.
You have this impact on making people nervous immediately by asking their name.
Over to you, Captain.
I shall open this one.
You do that while I sip tea.
You have a voice note. Oh. Was that a ringtone?
I think it was a ringtone.
Hello, Craig Revel Horwood.
Hi, Craig and Anton. Oh. Congrats on the podcast. Oh. I cannot wait to listen to it.
Thank you.
My name is Daniela, and I was wondering if you could help me with something. So me and my boyfriend are getting married this summer.
Okay.
And we're just starting to think about our first dance.
Oh.
And I would love a bit of advice from you.
Stay on the floor.
About if you've choreographed a first dance
Many.
Before, if you think there are any specific rules for a first dance.
Many.
If you have any song suggestions, oh. That would be great. I would really, really appreciate your input. Let me know.
Thank you, Daniela.
Thank you, Daniela. Daniela? Have right. you ever choreographed a wedding dance?
Yes.
I have done lots.
It was
of
complete disaster.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why, because they couldn't dance at all.
No.
They ended up fighting.
What, in your classes?
Yeah, in the classes. I had 4 classes with them for them to practice. And she was literally telling her husband to be that he's a pile of shit. And they ended up arguing and nearly splitting up because of it. And in
I
the
love
end,
the dance brings
you know
together.
What happened in the end? I said, you know what I'm going to do, darling? Because I said, you're both so tragic at this dance. It was meant to be a bit of a waltz. And it should have been very easy. Step side, close, back side, close. Step side, close, back side, close. You
oh
know it very
God.
Well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar.
You couldn't be more simple. Step side, close, back side, close. I mean, it's very simple. No. The timing was off. Everything was horrible. They were just fighting like cat and dog. It was awful. It came to the actual wedding, and I was there. I got all the guests to bunch in, to close them in so they couldn't dance, and blow bubbles over them so we couldn't see them. And they literally were so hemmed in.
Swallowed up by the crowd.
Yeah, they just did this.
Did a bump and grind.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I got the cameras to go around them and do the dance around them.
Brilliant.
So it looked like that. So it was all, it did look beautiful in the end, but there was no dancing involved. Thank goodness.
Brilliant.
What would you say? What's
well,
a
I've
good
done
song?
It many times. Well, the song thing's difficult because people go, oh, we've got this song and it's going to be really emotional and it's going to be really sort of something that we feel. And it's invariably a bit of a dirge. The songs can be really dirgy and sort of.
Well, it's very personal. I mean,
make it personal, make it entertaining.
Well, Daniela was asking about she should choose her own song, something that is
a little
meaningful to them.
But uplifting, a little.
Well, as long as it's touching their hearts and their souls, then I think that's fair enough. So I wouldn't say, oh, you must have this song.
No, it has to be personal. But if you have a choice of a personal song that might be a bit more uplifting than the other dirge, then go for the uplifting one because it will make a huge difference.
Love and lifts us up where we belong.
Huh? Oh, no, not that. Love
the greatest love of all.
Oh, God.
I believe the children are
a future. Yeah, well, maybe when you can get onto that a bit later this evening. But
AC/DC.
Yeah, something a bit more sort of, you know, what's new Pussycat? Somebody came into my studio once and said, we want to dance our first dance to this. What's new Pussycat? Whoa, which was quite fun. I enjoyed that. And invariably, at some stage during the evening, they're going to think that doing the dirty dancing lift is a good idea.
No.
They're always going to go, we can do this. Come on, let's try. Always.
That has a high fail rate.
It's always failed. I've never said. In actual fact, I saw a video once of a clip of a woman trying this dirty dancing lift with the groom and all of the best men and the bride's father and the groom's father, most of the men in the room. She ran towards them and and knocked them all down like Skittles. I mean, it didn't go up at all. She just wiped them out.
No, the only way of actually making that thing work is having the girl on a wire.
Yes. Or being a professional dancer. Let her be a little raised.
But even then, it fails.
You know, also,
I've seen it fail so many
times.
Also,
high heels, big frock and 4 litres of wine are not conducive to making this step work.
No. I would suggest to this poor woman who's getting married, to Daniela, I would say, darling, do something simple.
Simple.
Simple is better.
Yeah.
Choose a song that you absolutely love that means something.
Lovely. Marry a dancer. That's a good step forward.
Yes, either marry a dancer.
Yeah. Or, if he's not a dancer, if he's a builder, send him for lessons in advance.
Yeah, or do what I suggested, just have the crowd move in.
Yeah. Get it. And also, don't dance to the whole song. Get the music cut down.
Yeah.
Because if you go in with Bohemian Rhapsody as your wedding song, it's about 6 minutes.
Yeah, you've got 6 minutes to
deal
with.
A lot of music to fill.
I quite like those wedding dancers that are comedy.
Yeah, I like those.
You know, like you'll do 30 seconds of Charleston.
Yeah.
Then you'll do 30 seconds of contemporary.
Really?
Rolling around
contemporary.
On the floor.
Yeah. You suddenly shoes and socks are off.
30 seconds of tap.
Which weddings are you talking about?
Those sort of ones.
Oh, yeah.
The one I'm going to do.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I need to do something funny.
Who's performing this?
It's not business. That sort of thing. I think that's sound advice for that lovely girl.
Daniela, good luck, Daniela. And send us some videos of how you're getting on.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we're here to help. This is what we are. You know, we're not going to judge you, but we're going to advise you.
We're a little bit judgmental, but, you know.
Maybe a little bit.
Just ever so slightly.
Let me try this one. I'm going to try this one.
I like these gold cards.
This is tremendous. I'm enjoying this enormously.
This is my favourite section so far.
Out of the two we've done. here we go. Now, speeches. Now, can I say this about anybody who has an anecdote? It's got to have a punchline. Got to end on something funny. Because even if the...
Have you told yourself that?
I've constantly. You've got to have a punchline. You've got to end it with something. Don't let it peter out. Otherwise, it becomes just a bloke I met once. Disaster. 20 minutes, too long. How long is too long? 20 minutes. How long is the right amount of time?
I don't think there should be speeches.
You want to cut them out altogether?
All together.
No speeches at all.
Why would you want to have a speech?
And certainly from the
I've only ever seen the speeches go wrong, and they're boring. They are so deeply dull. That's when everyone goes out for a fag.
Do people still go out for fags? Do people still
smoke? Well, they go out for a vape, don't they? Well, they just go.
People just basically leave.
Yeah,
because people who've never smoked in their life suddenly take up smoking
men cigars.
They're
generally not funny people.
No, they're terrible.
And they're terrified anyway.
Nervous.
I mean, what are you going to say at a wedding? Oh, yeah, he shagged a whole bunch of other people before. That's basically all a best man's speech is.
I can't wait to go to a best man speech that you make. It's going to be brilliant.
Thank you all for coming. Enjoy yourselves.
At my expense.
The drinks are on me.
Lovely.
Boom.
Done. On with the dancing.
On with the dancing. Like on with the party.
I went to one not so Cut long ago. Somebody started to sing. I believe that children are our future. And then changed the lyrics to a well-known song.
What?
I could see people throwing themselves on sharp objects before the thing was over.
I did one speech myself and I ended up just crying. I know that's hard to believe. I got so emotional I couldn't speak.
Daggering. You didn't cry. You must have had hay fever or something.
No. I was in tears. I just had to stand up and say, I can't make the speech. I'm so sorry. And I just cried. So in what world, I reiterate, in what world is a speech a good thing? It's not. I love you.
I don't know what
to say.
You
love me back. You've said everything. I do. You've signed your life away to someone else and it's done. Celebrate. Goodbye. And, my dear, that is the gold standard.
Marvellous. It's time for Judgy Much.
It's quick fire judging, darling. Oh, that wedding chic.
And you're going to be in the hot seat this week. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Quick fire, don't forget.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hit me.
Free bar.
Yes.
Oh, well done. That's a good start. Nan on the dance floor.
No.
Well, no, of course
get
you
rid.
Must. Get rid. Confetti stuck in your hair.
No, thank you.
Guests not wearing a tie.
Get out.
Don't even let them in. Sweet Caroline.
No.
God, no, it's not football, man. Wedding photo booth.
Boring.
Boring. The wedding breakfast.
Deeply dull.
Outfit panic.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary. The registry.
Yes.
The first dance.
No.
Oh, don't do it.
No.
Gentle.
No lips.
Best man inappropriate jokes.
No, get no. rid of the best man.
Wedding seating named after albums.
Oh, don't get go.
Off. International hen or stag do.
Well, I quite like that. It's a good piss up, yes.
Yeah. International one. Go abroad. Puerto Benus or something.
Well, yeah. That's a holiday, at least.
That you're never going to see. You're going to be intoxicated the whole thing. Bride giving a wedding speech.
No.
No speeches.
No one needs to hear from her. Do they? Do they?
Do you know, I'm so pleased I asked you the questions. The free bar, I think, is essential.
Yeah, I think...
You can't ask people... You can't invite people to a wedding and say, pay for your own drinks.
No, it's a bit boring if the money runs out as well.
Yeah.
And then you... And then
you get
freebies, and then you get your credit card out halfway through the evening.
No,
I think if you're going to have a wedding and you're inviting people, you should pay for the bar.
Correct.
Or don't have that many people.
Exactly. I like that. Or don't have a wedding.
What was the next one?
Nan on the dance floor.
Nan?
Yeah. Come on, Nan, get up. Yeah, I love all that. Come on, girl. What I love is the old fellas who get the old girls up and they go, come on, girl, we know this one. We used to drive to this in about 1946, come on. And then he dislocates her shoulder because she's 94 now.
I know, but actually,
and they're whizzing around in some sort of windmilly action. She pops a rib. I mean,
or a hip.
Or the hip goes.
I should know about that. No, I don't mind Nans on the dance floor. No. I mean, they provide entertainment, don't they? they can be quite fun.
This one as well, I can't believe this. Turning up without a tie.
Well,
guess not wearing a tie. Why would you not wear a tie?
Well, I don't know. Why should you have to?
Because it's a formal
affair.
I
believe that people shouldn't have to wear ties. I know that goes against everything that you believe in. And I know today is killing you. not having a tie on.
I feel a little underdressed.
Yeah, I know. But you know, we're just relaxing.
We are at 17.
Cup of tea.
The photos. I always think about the photos.
Yeah, but listen, why would you have a photo booth? I can understand that if you're confiscating everyone's telephones.
Mobile phones.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're confiscating everyone's mobile phones. I mean, do you have everyone at your wedding, like on a mobile phone?
I had nobody at my wedding.
You only had six people.
Six people.
You cheapskate.
I know, it's great.
Did you have like a little list from Harrods?
No, I had a big list from Harrods. I ended up buying it all myself. what we did have though is we had a big celebratory party a couple of years later when Hannah had a significant birthday. And that was lovely. So we invited everybody to that. And that was lovely. That was a super party. So I enjoyed that. But I wouldn't have wanted that on the wedding. Bear in mind, Hannah had only had children 3 weeks before. She had twins. So it was a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know how Hannah feels about it still. She's still out.
Well, I think you should make it...
we should renew our vows.
You should make it a thing when you get home tonight.
We should renew our vows. Maybe have a bigger celebration on our 10th wedding anniversary.
Why would you want to do that? I mean, do you actually really want to say those things?
Oh, I don't mind saying
like,
vows.
I love you.
Oh, no, I say it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, things are important, don't you?
I think you'll be like...
But you never do that thing where you go, bye, love you.
No.
You just go, bye, click.
I sometimes say goodbye.
You just say, I'll speak to you later, click. Or you go like this. This is my favourite of yours. Well, click.
Well. If you agree or disagree with Anton specifically, please tell him. judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk.
Marvellous.
Don't bother texting me, darling. Because I'll only tell you the truth.
And don't forget to follow us on the socials, judgmental.pod, and I'll be answering the questions next week. Quickfire. I've never done quickfire in my life.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Judging me, judging you. There's a song in that.
There is.
Okay. Dear Anton and Craig, last summer I had a wedding for a distant friend who is lovely. But let's just say I wasn't expecting a wild time. I was going solo.
Oh.
My first solo attended wedding.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
I'd researched the church venue and saw it was only 20 minutes from where I was staying, so I didn't by any means rush. Before long, I realised I'd really overcooked it and was running pretty far behind. I dashed to the church and grabbed a seat next to a very charming man. Sat and braced ready for my friend to walk down the aisle, I thought I'd take a quick glance at the wedding programme. That's when it hit me. I was at the wrong wedding. Silly bitch. It felt rude to get up and leave so abruptly, so I ended up staying for the ceremony.
That moment when they go, does anybody know of any reason why these two people should not be...
Yes, I should not be in attendance.
Sorry, can I just stop you there? Sorry.
Now, a sensible person would quietly leave after that. I, however, was immediately handed a glass of champagne and was halfway through saying, this is beautiful. Congratulations to someone I can only assume was someone's aunt. So I stayed a little longer. A little, I thought. And honestly, it was incredible. Great music, fun people, a surprisingly competitive photo booth situation. I even signed the guest book with something like, wishing you a lifetime of happiness, which, to be fair, still applies. At one point, I got pulled into the group photo. I didn't know anyone's name, but I committed. Big smile, arms around strangers. I hope I'm now a mysterious recurring character in the wedding album. Eventually, guilt and a sense of logistics kicked in, and I made my exit to go to the correct wedding, arriving just in time for the reception like nothing had happened. I hugged my friend, handed over a gift, nodded along to stories I absolutely had not been present for. To this day, no one knows. Until now.
Until now.
Somewhere out there, there's a couple with a wedding crasher in their photos who genuinely had a lovely time. What do you think? I crashed a wedding.
You say this, and for some reason,
I did.
I'm not surprised.
I did. I crashed
did
a wedding.
Did you go unnoticed, though?
It was...
Please tell me it was after you were famous.
It was after I was famous.
Oh, no, genius.
I walked into the wedding. I was in the wedding photos. In fact, they were treating me like I had been invited. They thought I was a special guest. And I was like... The
you
celeb
were like a special,
the,
yeah. The designated celeb at the
I
wedding.
I literally took over the wedding.
Oh, yes.
And not only that, the woman whose wedding it was came to see me in a show and she bought VIP tickets for a meet and greet. And she said, "You gatecrashed my wedding." I said, "Oh, I remember that." Because I was literally passing through to go to a restaurant through a hotel. And
it got swept along with the crowd.
And I ended up at their wedding.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I remember I went to lovely Brendan Cole and Zoe's wedding.
Yeah.
A number of years ago. It was in Oxford, I think. I remember. And it was lovely, lovely affair. And I think Hello were there. Hello? Hello. They were there doing some photographs. And... we were all there, and also Brucey was there.
Oh, I went to that.
Brucey. You came as well, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had to give up our mobile phones.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right, because of the hello. So we're there, and I remember Brucey was there. And I remember if you remember the photographs we had, but the photographer was very keen on getting Brucey into the pictures because at one stage, it was Zoe and Brucey having photos together. So Brucey had just married.
Yeah.
Married Zoe. And poor old Brendan was stood there going, is there any chance I could get in my own wedding photograph?
Yeah, it was like a spare part. Yeah. I crashed another wedding, actually, as well.
Yeah.
Well, I was invited. I was having a drink in the hotel bar. They said, will you please come and join our wedding party? I said, what for? Oh, we want photos. I went, fine.
Obviously, it turned into a working gig for you.
It was great.
Hope you enforced them.
No, I got free booze.
Oh, well, fair enough. Then you got paid.
We were disco dancing.
Yeah. Disco dancing.
I wasn't entirely dressed for a wedding because I had a pair of...
Don't tell you shorts and flippies. No.
Yes.
You were beach cash.
Beach cash. I was beach ready. Yeah, I was beach cash.
It's beach cash.
I literally had a pair of flip-flops.
I can't even bear it. No.
Flip-flops and shorts on.
Can't bear it.
Yeah, I was not dressed.
Why didn't you just resist?
But it was a great wedding, and we had a real laugh.
It was in Malibu.
It was good.
Where was it?
Oh, a weird place.
It better have been somewhere where you
Sheffield.
Were...
Sheffield.
No one wears beach cash in Sheffield. There's no beach in Sheffield. It's landlocked.
No, it was in Sheffield.
Oh, my God.
I know. It was the hotel I was staying at in Sheffield.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I hope there was a spa there at least.
No, there
Give
wasn't.
Give me some reason to be beach cash in Sheffield. So it ain't the weather.
No, I just finished work.
Oh, right.
You know.
Stripped down to beach cash. Give me a martini. Let me sit by the sea.
What?
Oh, okay. We'll run a bath. It sounds the same.
If I was this girl, the advice I would give her is don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Marvellous. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this enormously.
Yeah, me too.
This is our first one.
Yeah, and I'm not lying.
And you're not lying.
I have actually enjoyed it.
So have I. Yeah. I'm delighted about
that. It's just like we're in the back of the car, isn't it?
In the back of the car going
from tour.
One show to another.
So thank you for joining us on Judgmental, darling. And remember, you can write in judgmental@bauermedia.co.uk. And don't forget, Anton, our podcast.
At judgmental. Dot pod.
Dot pod. Come on.
It's easy. We've made it
judgmental
easy for everyone.
Dot, oh. judgmental pod. Dot pod.
That's a fella.
Judgmental dot pod. Yeah. It's got a certain...
It's got a ring to it.
Ring.
It's got a certain ring to it.
But thank you for joining us.
It's been brilliant. I've enjoyed
From
it.
From me, Craig Webber-Horwood.
And me, Anton DeBeck.
Boom.